Would you please pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created anew, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in your consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. Have you ever been in a room full of people when the power has gone out and it's completely dark and you don't dare move for fear of where you might go or what you might trip on or for fear of doing the wrong thing? You just sit there hoping power will return. I'm sure many of you, most of you have had that experience, and these days you can just pull out your cell phone to get light. But I remember once when I was a little kid, a party being held at my parents' house. They had invited their friends over. We were all playing outside, swimming in the lake, and suddenly a storm blew in. So we all ran inside to finish our party, and the power went out with a room full of multiple different families, lots of different people, and we sat there kind of not knowing what to do until my mom, like anybody probably would do, went to the closet with all of our candles, pulled out one candle, handed out candles to everyone in the room, and started going around lighting each of those candles. And soon, as you know, the room is lit, and you can really see one another. In essence, you can really understand one another because you've just experienced the same situation. I think it must have been a lot like that in the upper room in the Acts text that Pastor Hammerstein just read. Jesus has ascended into heaven, and even though he had promised to send the Holy Spirit to give his disciples power after he had descended, they still weren't quite sure what that would look like. They still didn't understand what that meant. So today, Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate this gift of the Holy Spirit that came 50 days after the Passover, or it comes 50 days after Easter for us and continues to come to us still today, every day. And we see that even though it's hard to understand this gift of the Holy Spirit gives us power to see, to truly understand one another. It's a power that isn't easily understood, and Martin Luther grasped that really well as he wrote his small catechism. In fact, in his third article, explanation to the Apostles' Creed, in which we talk about believing in the Holy Spirit, he says this: I believe I cannot by my own understanding or strength come to Jesus Christ or believe in him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the one true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. The Holy Spirit calls us, gathers us, enlightens us, and makes us holy so that God's power and grace and forgiveness is known here on earth. Hard to understand it intellectually, but essential to live as followers of Christ. In baptism, we are washed and made new in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. There's nothing that we do to receive this promise. It is God-given, and it is our primary and deepest identity. I've spoken about this before, and I tell all baptismal families as they come to have their babies baptized that this is their primary identity. There is nothing that takes us away. And yet they will live in a world that will try really, really hard to take this most essential name away from us, that we are beloved by God no matter what, and that love allows us to see the love that God has for one another. We have been given responsibility as God's people, as sponsors, as parents, as congregation, to raise up our baptized in Christ and remind one another of that primary identity, that we are beloved children and we carry the Holy Spirit wherever we go. So baptism sends us into the world to live as God's people. In fact, when we hand that baptismal candle, at least when I handle that baptismal candle to the family, I say, let your light so shine before others that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The light we shine is connected to Jesus, who is the true light of the world. So on that Pentecost in the upper room with disciples huddled around, it was tongues of fire that allowed them to really see and understand one another. They started speaking in different languages, and yet they all spoke in ways that they could be understood. And that sent them out into the world to give and receive God's grace and good news. In 1958, there is a Trappist monk named Thomas Merton who was living a cloistered life, which means he was living apart from all of society. But he is famous for writing a book called Conjectures of a Guilty Bystander, and he's even more famous for this one particular part that they call his bit on the fourth, on the streets of Fourth and Walnut. So he's in Louisville, and he finds himself at this crossroads of Fourth and Walnut Street, and he has this realization after coming out of isolation and separateness. He has this realization that he loved all of the people that were around him in this busy shopping street, even though they were total strangers. He recognized the joy that he found in being a child of God and that he was indeed connected to all others. He struggled with the same things they struggled with. They struggled with the same things he struggled with. And in knowing that, he knew that we could see light and love in everyone. And there is a line that he says at the end of this. He says, there is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. There's no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. And I'm sure that's what it was like in that upper room with those tongues of fire above each head, shining like the sun. They actually saw each other. It was a Holy Spirit moment. It was a moment of recognition for Merton on the street. It's a famous moment that even their city has recognized and put a historical marker there, because the Holy Spirit is around us in the present world that we live in today. I've heard it said the Holy Spirit is the presence of God in the present. It is no secret that the past year and a half has been filled with all sorts of hardship and has been a pretty dark time for many. And in the midst of that hardship, it is tempting to flee from our discomfort or get pretty bound up in worries about ourselves, to want to return to the past or jump too quickly to the future. But the Holy Spirit is our reminder and is the promise that God is present in the present, always. There is nothing that will separate us from God's love in the present, right here, right now, not the past, not the future. And I'm reminded of Martin Luther King's famous mountaintop speech in Memphis when he says, if the Almighty were to ask me, which age would you like to live in? He answered in his speech, he said, I would take my mental flight by Egypt, and I would watch God's children in their trek from the dark dungeons of Egypt through the Red Sea, through the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land. But I would not stop there. He says, I would move on to Greece and in the heyday of the Roman Empire, but I would not stop there. I'd go to the Renaissance and to Germany, where Martin Luther, who incidentally he was named after, nailed those 95 theses, but I wouldn't stop there. He says, I'd go to Abraham Lincoln, but again, I wouldn't stop there. And then he says he'd go all the way to his own time, and he would reply, here and now is exactly where I would choose to live. And for him to say here and now may be kind of surprising to us, because we know that it's the late 1960s and there are tensions everywhere. Quite honestly, much like today. But he said so poignantly, it is only when it's dark enough that you can see the stars. It's only when it's dark enough that you can see the stars. And I imagine it was pretty dark that day when the Holy Spirit blew in the upper room. Fear paralyzed those folks from leaving their safe places. But the Holy Spirit came in, propelled them, lit up the room, helped them to understand, helped them to see one another. And they learned new ways of living. And we know that from that day, Peter preached a powerful sermon that we hear in this text as well, and 3,000 plus were baptized. The Holy Spirit took their fears away. When Martin Luther King left his mountaintop speech that day, it was a poignant one because we know that the day after he gave it happened to be the day that he died. But he said at the end of that speech, "I'm happy tonight. I don't fear anything." Martin Luther King understood the power of the Spirit. It calls us to live in the world and the here and the now, despite the messiness, despite the hopelessness we often see, despite the messiness, despite the hopelessness we often feel. For the Holy Spirit is the presence of God in the present, and it calls us to live in the present, to slow down and let the Holy Spirit move us, to live lives of light, to live lives of hope, to live lives of forgiveness, to live lives of love. And the Holy Spirit holds us in that same grace for eternity. The Holy Spirit is just as equal to God the Father and God the Son. We just don't often talk about it because it feels so intangible. But it is just as fully God as those two other bodies of the Trinity. It's the presence of God in the present, and it's around us all of the time. There is a race in ancient Greece called the Lampadodromia, and that was a torch race where people would run around the track or wherever they were running with their torches lit, and the goal was not to finish the race first. The goal was to finish the race with your torches lit. The emphasis wasn't on winning or making distinctions between people. It was on keeping the fire going together. That is what happened on that day of Pentecost in the upper room. Tongues of fire and light lay upon each people that day. And soon all could understand and all could see just as God wanted. That is the good news of Pentecost. That is the life of the Spirit. That is the power in which you have been baptized. Thanks be to God. Amen.